Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Winder, there it is! Into left field! It's number 3,000! A run is scored! Musial ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease! The kicker can't trip him up! Headed for the end zone! Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Troy Brower. The former Blackhawk has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Over. The series is over. The wait is over. And the St. Louis Blues are the Stanley Cup champions for the first time in franchise history.
Sing it if you know it.
It'll be playing all day on the radio, I know, Y98. Started the 24-hour marathon last night, shortly after the Blues won their first Stanley Cup in franchise history. You'll be hearing it at bars and restaurants all summer, heading into next season. Jim, Plowsy, we can honestly say for the first time, the St. Louis Blues are Stanley Cup champions.
It is an unbelievable statement. It is still, I am still getting texts from people who are just now getting out of bed from last night going, wow, that really happened.
Maybe they're just going into bed from last night.
Right. I'm sure there's guys who are on that flight back. They're trying to find a way to get some sleep at some point here in the next hour or two. But my goodness, phenomenal night, guys. Just a phenomenal night. One that everybody who is a Blues fan or a semi-Blues fan is going to know where and what they did last night.
Blues 4-1 winners against the Boston Bruins last night. Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. We spent, due to NHL scheduling, 2 days off in between Games 6 and 7. So Monday, Tuesday, and even Wednesday morning, yesterday morning, a lot of time dissecting just about any and every aspect and avenue and matchup that was presented between these two teams. Yesterday, I spent a lot of time taking text on score predictions, pick-to-clicks. How do you think the game will progress? And I would say, not that I wrote all of them down, but really, the vast majority, especially from talent on this station, Frank, Martin, Jim, I think you had a similar one, Charlie, was that a common one was Blues 2-goal win, 3-1, 4-2, but that second goal is an empty netter. So everyone was anticipating a gut-wrenching, heart-thumping game between the Blues and Bruins, 1-goal game heading into the third, back and forth, maybe even a tie game, third period goal. And then you're just on the edge of your seat, you're gripping the armrest, you're probably standing up at times too, having to pace back and forth, get out the room. We had one text yesterday that had the final score correct, 4-1, but they expected Boston to win.
That's right.
Jim, I don't think any of us really anticipated the Blues to win at such a score. And really after the first 15 minutes of the first period, dictate that game.
Absolutely true. I mean, I still have my notes from all those Game 7 notes. I'm going, yeah, none of these mattered worth a darn. That was a waste of time. I mean, it really was a lot of that. And look, We're going to have time to talk about it. But Binnington was phenomenal early in the game. He saved their bacon. He is the reason why you had that opportunity to breathe easily, if you will, in the third period. And even at that, when it was still 2-0, you're just going, just one goal. It's all it's going to take from them, and they're going to get the momentum, and you're going to try and hold on at the end. But it never came to that point. But we got time to get into the game a little bit here. Here's my first take. Good start for the first couple minutes, and I went, hey, okay, they're not getting shell-shocked. And then it happened. Bang, bang, bang. Binnington is just being miraged, and they can't get the puck out of the zone, and he's making big save after big save, and you're kind of going, guys, I don't know. You better find a way to start dumping the puck in, creating the momentum.
You had that one bad penalty on the delay game. Yes. And that, you're just thinking, oh, God, no, don't do this. You can't.
I'm yelling at the TV, okay? I usually don't do it. I go, that's the one thing you can't do tonight is flip the puck over the net or get somebody with a high stick.
And not even necessarily a penalty of action or anything. Yes. It's so unfortunate.
It's a freak unfortunate thing, but I'm still yelling, going, that's the one thing you can't do, Colton. Come on. They kill the penalty. Then they get the first goal. And during that time, the shots are mounting up for Boston, and the Blues are getting no shots on goal. And I'm going, for crying out loud, shoot the puck. Somebody just throw it on goal. And I'll be honest, throughout the entire series, when shots are being fired at the goal, whenever Bouwmeester is shooting, I'm going, yeah, that's the one guy I don't want shooting the puck. I give it to any of the other guys on the ice. But he shoots the puck, the deflection, it goes in. Boom, you're jumping up, you're going, wow.
And here's how it sounded last night, first goal of the game for the Blues.
Shock a little bit for the people at the Garden. Go, wait a minute. We're controlling play. We're getting chances. That was a fluke goal. I'm not even sure how it went in.
It went between the five, full off a deflection by O'Reilly.
That's our guy, Tuukka Rask. Yeah. You know, the national media is praising. You know, he's going to be the Conn Smythe, win or lose, no matter what. And yeah, you go. You can take a breath here if you're the Blues. You're up 1-0 now. Now let's see if we can get some momentum going. And it didn't really come out that way. They're still getting outshot. They're still getting outplayed. And then Marchand makes his big mistake.
Duels there. Puck came loose. Held on, but can be played now as Marchand is coming to the bench. It's thrown along by Schwartz. Schwartz able to pick it. Dropped it on back now. Around it. They score! Petrangelo with 7.9 to go in the period.
Now, I know Jane Schwartz, his last goal was game 5 against San Jose. So he went scoreless over the final 8 games of the postseason. He was phenomenal on that sequence, playing the puck off the boards to himself and then finding Petro behind him for a goal that, you know, 1-0 after one, Boston can go away thinking we outplayed them.
Yep.
We're down by one, but we can get that back. Suddenly when it's 2-0 and those goals in the final minute, final 30 seconds of periods, always seem just to sting a little bit more. Because you're just thinking we just had to play it out and we'd be in better shape than we are. Petro putting it 2-0 at the end of the first period with single digits left on the clock. That's when you started to kind of believe a little bit more that it's the Blues night and it actually might really happen.
That's when I first kind of went, holy cow.
Oh, my God.
This is real, and this is a real possibility. And you're right, 100%. The complete hustle by Jaden Schwartz to create that chance. Marchand just in no man's land on, am I changing? Am
Member
I not
of the
changing?
The perfection line had an imperfect play.
Exactly. And then Petro with another unbelievable move. And there are times when Petro would frustrate me through these playoffs. Last night, he played his best game ever as a Blue. In all areas, he was dynamite. Not just because he scored, but the way he would control the puck in certain areas. But that move to score that goal, it just, boom, shut everything down. Because you're immediately thinking, Blues didn't play anywhere near their best period. They're going into the break up by 2 goals. And the other thing I took from that, obviously Marchand with a big mistake, But as you watch on TV and you see facial expressions, and you can really start to tell, Boston went, uh-oh, and Marchand was one of them. We're in trouble. Uh-huh. We're down two. We just threw just about everything we could at him in the kitchen sink. The guy down at the other end is not letting anything in, and we're down two. We're in a bunch of trouble going into this break. We got to find a way. And that's where, I'll be honest, I started pacing again. I told you yesterday I was going to be in between periods, I'm pacing, and I made the statement, you know, these damn intermissions are a little bit too long. We need to get back out there.
I was thinking
that too. It was crazy at that point. There's no doubt.
The Blues last night were outshot 33-20. And for a while, they were stuck on single-digit shots, even into the second period. Mm-hmm. And what was so odd and striking to me is it didn't really feel that way after the first, where that it didn't feel that Boston was dictating it or even outshooting the Blues. And even in the second, not a whole lot of scoring opportunities. They didn't get any goals at all in the second period. But it just felt like the Blues had wrestled control from Boston in that game and in the second period.
They started to, and they weren't necessarily beating them up like they had done with every other team. They started to play the road game, so to speak, and there was no room in the middle of the center ice. There was no room at center ice between the blue lines. And that's when the Blues, if you go back and watch the elimination games, and I know some of you will at some point just to relive the memories, but that's when the Blues started to just, and almost you go, well, it's kind of boring hockey because there's no real chances going on either end, but the Blues are getting it out, dumping it in, keep a little offensive zone time, then the puck comes down, boom, just get it right back out. Bennington would make a save here and there. You're going, my goodness. And you're right. Things just kind of calm down for a while. And you're like, look at the clock. It just keeps running. And if you're a Blues fan, you're going, well, we're halfway there now. We're halfway through the game, and you still got a 2-0 lead. And then you get to the six-minute mark of the second period. You go, you still got a 2-0 lead. And you're staying out of the penalty box. That's when they really kind of subdued the mood of what was taking place in that second period. And you're right. Blues didn't get a lot of shots, but they weren't giving up nearly as many because, I mean, it was just a free-for-all in that first period.
Blues, once again, Stanley Cup champions. Game 7 winners, 4-1 last night against the Boston Bruins. We want to hear from you, the fan. We are scheduled, hopefully, at some point this hour. Frank's flight is actually delayed going from Boston to New York. But at some point during the show, we hope to hear back from Frank Cusimano, cast of others, hopefully at some point in time throughout the course of the show. Rick Hummel will be joining at about 11:40. The Cardinals, the Christian Yelich trade came back to haunt them again last night, though in a very different fashion. But today, from the press box, 10 to noon, midday grind, noon to 1, will be very heavy, obviously. Blues, we want to hear from you, the fan, 855-282-8255 on the text line. 855-282-8255 on the Maryville University listener line. I do want to mention that this opening segment brought to you by Worldwide Technology Raceway at Gateway. Visit WWTRaceway.com for more information. This gentleman here on line 3 has been on hold for a while. Zachary, he called in right as the show was starting. Said, first time, long time, big Blues fan. Zachary, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Your thoughts from last night?
Right in the beginning, I had that same feeling a lot of Blues fans, I think, kind of had. It's been a long season. I honestly was kind of one of them counting them out in November, December. Went to Montreal to watch Blues game. Pareko gave it away in front of the net. They scored. Game over. Blues lost. Then that penalty right in the first there last night. And I think that was the same feeling a lot of people had, and I'm glad that was this team. They could overcome it. They could work through it and build past it, kill the penalty, and win the Stanley Cup.
Other than last night, the final moments, what's your favorite moment of the season?
Favorite moment of the season? Bennington's been huge, honestly, with that, like I said, Pareko going down in that Montreal game like that. Just watching him develop, watching these young kids come in. We've been watching for a long time. It took me 33 years to get a cup. My dad's been watching a little bit longer. So just to have the cup, you know, I can't name one feeling.
No, that's awesome. I'll be honest, it took me 49. So I'm at 49, yeah. Almost 50. I've been there most of them, and I wasn't there for the first three, but it's just an awesome moment. and be able to share it with your family, like I guess you did and many others did.
Yeah, my dad was going nuts. We went down to Enterprise. We were up in the suite. It was beautiful.
Very cool. Zachary, thanks for your time. I hope you enjoyed last night. I hope you enjoy the parade and all the Russian euphoria that comes from winning a Stanley Cup.
Yes, still shaking from it.
Thank you, Zach. Zach joining us on the Maryville University listener line.
He mentioned the development of Parayko. That's another side story of 1,000 that we'll look back on. And the development of Parayko, for me, goes along with the coaching change, because the coaching change brought in Larry Robinson behind the scenes for a brief period of time. Larry Robinson taught these guys another level, every one of them. And it showed in Parayko. It didn't happen overnight. It wasn't like, hey, Robinson's here in 5 days. It's fixed. It's not. But the reason I'm going to tell you why he played such a big role, and I know it's true, is because when the finals started, Scott Stevens is on NHL Network doing a cup preview. And Scott Stevens, Hall of Famer, broke our hearts when he got sent to New Jersey here, but he mentioned Larry Robinson specifically. And I thought, well, why is this guy mentioning the keys for Larry Robinson? And he said, the final season I played, and this is Scott Stevens, in the league, Larry Robinson showed up in the Devils organization. He said he taught me so much about stick position and how to play the game. And I'm going, wait a minute, this guy is at the end of his Hall of Fame hockey career, and this guy teaches him more? That tells you the importance of what Larry Robinson did, and it really was over the course of that time when Parayko started to figure out how to use his size, how to use a stick, and you saw it so many times throughout the playoffs, the number of times last night. He uses his length. He used a stick. You don't have to just plaster a guy into the wall when you're that big. He can skate. We know he can shoot. He frustrates people when he doesn't use that big shot, but his ability to shut down the other team's top guys throughout this run, not just against Boston, but you go all the way back to Winnipeg and the Dallas series. And you know what? You didn't hear Jordy Benn's name much. And Jordy Benn, I think, going into the playoff run against the Blues, was basically a point-a-game player against the Blues. He was not in the Stanley Cup playoff run. I mean, those are just some of the things that you go, that was pretty awesome.
Some news and notes coming out of last night. Last night was the third elimination game the Blues played this postseason. Obviously, given the tone of today's show, they were 3-0 in those three games. We're digging a little deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Binnington in those three games stopped 83 of 86 shots. The Blues never trailed in an elimination game that they played this year.
That's another standalone stat there that puts in perspective how dominant they really have been. It was a game seven, and yes, anything could have happened. But when push came to shove, this team hammered the opposition. They did it in the elimination games with the three previous series. San Jose was a shell of what they could have been. They dominated the game against Dallas, even though it went to two overtimes in the final. And then they blew them out the game before that in their own building. They did the same thing to Winnipeg. They dominated Winnipeg in the elimination game. And Winnipeg, you could argue, next to Boston, Winnipeg was the toughest team they played.
Yes.
And they shut them down to nothing. I mean, they really were that dominant. I made a comment way back in March, and I think we were on with Frank, and many won't remember it, but I'm going to say, when this thing started to roll in March, I said, this reminds me of the Kings team when they won their first Stanley Cup. They started to figure things out. They were, I think at one point, they were 13th in the league when their little run started in the regular season. Once they got going, and they were playing a similar style where they just beat you up and beat you up. Well, they beat up the Blues and everybody else they went through in that Stanley Cup run, and that's what reminded me of the St. Louis Blues, is that original Kings run way back in March. I didn't think it would go to this extreme, but I'm going, I see some similarities, and boy, they just dominated their
Boston's
opponent.
Perfection line, which was plus 21 through the Eastern Conference playoffs, finish minus 13 in the Stanley Cup final. The Blues in games 5, 6, and 7 this postseason, they played 10 of them, evenly split home and road, were 8-2 in games 5 through 7, outscoring opponents 30-17 in the five road games. They were 5-0, outscoring the home teams 18-5.
They were never in awe of the moment, with the exception of Sunday.
Yes.
And we're going to hear some of the audio from last night a little bit later on in the show from a lot of the guys, and some of them even admitted, yeah, you know what, Sunday, we got out of our element, and we didn't try to play the game that we normally play to be successful. But other than that contest, they were never out of sync. I mean, they knew exactly. Everybody was on board where they were supposed to be, what they were supposed to do, not trying to do too much, trying to cover for the other guy. A little cliche in that statement, but that was true reality, and that's why they are where they are today.
Blues, once again, Stanley Cup champions. Last place in the NHL at the beginning of 2019. They end it. It is the longest road to the Stanley Cup final in league history. The Blues having to play nearly a maximum amount of games, just two shy of the maximum, 2 6-game series in rounds 1 and 3, and then 2 7-game series against Dallas, and then finally against Boston. But it was exhausting for players, I'm sure, the coaches, fans, anyone affiliated with the St. Louis Blues. You're dragging tonight, this morning, and you'll probably be dragging beyond the parade on Saturday, but ultimately it was worth it, sincerely. We're going to take a short timeout here on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. More reaction from our text line. We'll have some sound. We hope to be joined by Frank Cusimano. We're also going to be joined by Terry Yake at 11:20, talking about the Blues Stanley Cup championship, and a quick visit by the commish brought to you by Lakeside Roofing at 11:40. And we'll see who else gets back to me about hopping on to discuss the most improbable championship in St. Louis history and quite possibly the most memorable. No offense to any of the Cardinals' 11 World Series titles and the Rams' lone Super Bowl title in 99. By the way, St. Louis joined an exclusive group. We are now eight markets to win a title in all four major sports. We only have two of them presently, and it was a very weird and uncharacteristic route to get to it, but the city of St. Louis now has won a title in the four major sports after last night's win. Hollywood Casino last night, I'm sure, was on fire. The 99 Hops House, Final Cut Steakhouse, I'm sure that place was rocking from the start of that game. And I'm sure it was a great place around 10 o'clock and beyond to be. That's a good night to maybe decide, I should just rent a hotel room while I'm here.
Agreed.
There's no point for me to try to make my way back to the homestead. I'll call in sick tomorrow, as I'm sure quite a few people are in the St. Louis area. Work from home, half day at Hollywood Casino, Maryland Heights, 99 Hops House, Final Cut Steakhouse. Great place for some gaming. They are the title sponsor of the Press Box, and they are huge fans of the St. Louis Blues, and I'm sure that they are riding high this morning in St. Louis. We're going to take a short time out. Plenty more Blues coverage on the other side. This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.